on today's Tech Help for Churches. What's a podcast and why you should and shouldn't use them. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I just want to invite you to join in the conversation. So if you want to head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, you can find all my contact information there, whether you're an email person, and you can drop me a line at paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, or a Twitter person, in which case you can use my Twitter handle, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanCliff, or more of a phone person, I got you covered there too, 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246, or there's no reason that you can't just leave a comment below. That would be perfectly permissible, whether you're watching this on YouTube or watching it on the blog. Either way, that's perfectly fine with me. So before we get going, I do want to thank viewers like you who have made this show and all the other shows on the ChurchTechCast.com network possible. Thank you. Your support for as little as $1 a month helps make what I do possible, and it helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world, because I'm teaching churches all over the world how to use technology to spread the message more effectively. So let's get started talking a little bit about podcasting, shall we? You might know that I quite literally wrote the book on podcasting for churches. This is called Podcasting Church, written by Paul A. Clifford. That would be me. That's actually the first book I wrote, because podcasting is near and dear to my heart. It's something that really can affect a large number of people. And so I really think that a lot of churches that aren't doing it should be, and maybe a few that are that shouldn't, but we'll get into that a little bit later. First off, what is a podcast? Well, according to the dictionary definition, a podcast is a set of downloadable media files that are delivered via the mechanism of what's called an RSS 2.0 feed with enclosures. Now, that's kind of technical, but let me break it on down. Let me paint a little word picture for you. Imagine that you get home and your spouse hands you a shopping list. You had just been to the store the night before. So you check the shopping list, and lo and behold, everything that was on the shopping list, you bought. So you say to your spouse, you hand them the shopping list back, and you say, "Honey, I already have everything. I already got it. We're good." The next day, you get another shopping list. This time, it has new things on it that you didn't get 2 days previous. Well, then you run out to the store and you pick up those things that you haven't gotten. So that's what RSS is. RSS is short for Really Simple Syndication, or Rich Site Survey, depending on who you ask, because quite frankly, I don't think anyone knows. Not for sure. Anyway, it's a mechanism that is like a shopping list that you put into your computer. And in this metaphor, you are the spouse, the shopping list is this RSS feed, and your computer is you going out to fetch the things that it does not have from the list. That's how a podcast works. I was a paperboy in the late 80s, early 90s, and something that newspapers realized years and years ago is that while they could depend on people just to happen past a newsstand or just happen to go by somewhere where they're selling newspapers and decide to pick one up, it was worth a discount on each newspaper to say, hey, you pay for an entire month of the newspaper. We will deliver it automatically to your house, and you don't have to do anything. The newspapers actually made more money selling each newspaper for less, knowing that they had a month's worth of newspapers to sell to each person. Well, that's the power of a subscription. Likewise, with a podcast, if it's a real podcast, people can subscribe to it, and they don't need to remember to go to your website. They just open up their podcatcher, which is the software that deals with this, on the iPhone, for example. There is a podcasting app, that Apple has developed. So anytime I'm in my car or anytime I'm going out for a run or whenever I lift weights, any of those things, all I need to do is pop open the podcasting app, and I've got new content. Maybe it's 15 minutes of new content. Maybe it's several hours of new content. It really could be either of those. And I don't have to go to the websites of the 10 or 15 podcasts that I listen to most often to get that. It just comes automatically. So that's the power of a podcast. But you might be thinking, well, then what can I deliver via a podcast? Maybe I need to start sending out the message notes in Microsoft Word format every week. That's brilliant. Thank you, Paul. No, it won't work. Sorry. While technically you could do that, the software that receives this stuff is only set up to receive MP3s, so audio files in the MP3 format, QuickTime movie files in QuickTime with an H.264 codec, or PDFs. So those are really your three main choices. Apple devices can also receive M4As as audio formats with an enhanced podcast, but they're really falling out of disuse since Apple discontinued that feature in the latest version of GarageBand. And they never did get picked up by Microsoft or Google or any of the other manufacturers that made those things. So really, the enhanced podcast is, I fear, going the way of the dodo. But that remains. Your top three choices are audio, video, and PDFs, and almost no one does the PDFs. So MP3s and QuickTimes. Those are primarily what you're going to do, and that is what a podcast is. So why should you do it? Well, I already touched on it a little bit. You can have people that automatically get your content. They don't have to go through any trouble whatsoever, and it just arrives on their device. This is incredible. And it's time-shifted. So one thing that I don't like about regular radio is if they're talking about something good, and it's not during a commercial because they have a bazillion of those, but if they're talking about something good and I get to where I'm going, and I'm late, I just have to turn it off and not know the rest of the discussion. But with the podcast, no problem. I just pause it. And on my iPhone, that's as simple as unplugging the audio jack in the top, and it automatically pauses. Brilliant! So, since it's pre-recorded, since it's time-shifted, I can listen to every last word of every podcast that I listen to, no problem. So this is quite a method of getting the gospel out, of sharing good news with people. You might know that Iran is well known for filtering out content that they don't agree with. You might also know that China is well known for doing that exact same thing. I got some news for you. if you're in Iran or China, you can get my podcast. If you're in a country that hates Christianity, I can still get in with my message from the other side of the world. That is amazing. Now, I do want to caution. I think that this is such a powerful mechanism that I really don't want every group of people to use it. I just don't. Here's the case. I know that there are groups out there that they just make hay with their audience by hating people. I don't want you to use a podcast if you're in one of those groups. If you think that God is mad at you, podcasting isn't for you. No, just leave it alone. If you think you really need to work hard to make God love you, podcasting, not for you, buddy. Just leave it alone. So if that's your kind of message, I really don't want you to use podcasting. But if you would call yourself, if your message is a message of hope and love, that the whole reason that Jesus came was to offer forgiveness to everyone that would take it, then please use podcasting. So I want you to think about all the ways that you can use podcasting. And next time, we'll talk about some of the equipment and some little hacks to get around some of the expenses as we're continuing our series on podcasting. Till next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Go out and change eternity.